Hi, the question this week is, can everything be proven by the Bible? Some say you can prove everything from the Bible. Is this true? The answer is simply no. Not everything can be proven by the Bible. What are some things that cannot be proven by the Bible? When people say you can prove everything by the Bible, what they really mean is, there are so many different churches and preachers, and they all claim they're preaching from the Bible, yet they're all different. Each church and each preacher says they're right, and everyone else is wrong. And in view of all this confusion, many people just throw up their hands in despair and conclude, you can prove everything by the Bible. This is why religious division is wrong and sinful. It discourages many people from taking the Bible seriously. It causes many to conclude that the Bible did not come from God if it actually teaches such contradictory and confusing doctrines as all the denominations teach. Jesus prayed for unity among his believers, John 17, verse 21. The apostles commanded unity, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. The Bible plainly condemns heretics who would divide the church of Christ, Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Let's begin by asking, how can anything be proven by the Bible? There are several things necessary in order to prove anything from the Bible. First, because the words of both good men and evil men are recorded in the Bible, when we prove something, we need to check and make sure a good man was saying it. Did you realize that the words of the devil himself are recorded in the Bible? For example, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. You can't prove anything by what he said or by what any of his helpers said, because he is a liar and the father of lies, John 8, verse 44. Second, because the words of both inspired men and uninspired men are recorded in the Bible, when we prove something, we need to check and make sure an inspired man said it. Apollos was a good man, and he was preaching in the best way that he knew how, but he was mistaken and had to be corrected. Acts 18, verses 24 through 28. The 12 apostles were good men, but before they were filled with the Holy Spirit and guided directly in what they said, they were sometimes mistaken in words which they spoke. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 23 is a good example of this happening. But after the apostles were filled with the Spirit and guided directly by God, they did not make mistakes in what they wrote or said. John 16, verse 13. We may then prove something from the Bible when an inspired man spoke on some topic. Third, because the Bible is a book containing poetry and prose, we need to check carefully what we're reading before we attempt to prove something. For example, in the book of Psalms, you can read about trees clapping their hands and mountains praising God. When you remember that Psalms is a book of poetry and not intended to be taken literally on every point, there's no problem. In Psalm 51, verse 5, a man in deep depression and anguish of spirit declares that he is so rotten that he believes he was a sinner from birth. We must be careful and not be very literal with such poetic passages. On the other hand, some books are written in prose. They are to be understood literally, not figuratively. When Genesis chapter 1 says, for example, that the heavens and the earth and everything in them were created in 6 days, we must take it for what it says. We're not free to take a book of prose and begin saying, those days are not literal days. They were long epochs of time, perhaps millions of years each. Remember, prose is to be taken literally, poetry figuratively. Fourth, because the Bible was all written under the oversight of God, we must try our best to harmonize passages before we attempt to prove something. If a man says one thing sometimes and something else at other times, what are we saying about that individual? Are we not calling him a liar? What then are we calling God when we say, he says one thing to you, but another thing to me? Are we not calling him a liar? If God said one thing in the book of Romans, but something else in the book of Acts, would he not be a liar? We must then be very careful when trying to prove something by the Bible. We must make sure we do not interpret a passage in such a way so as to contradict what God said in other passages. For example, when we read in Galatians 3, verse 28, that there is neither male nor female in Christ Jesus, we must be careful not to interpret this beyond what other passages in the Bible say about men and women. If the Lord did not recognize any difference between men and women at any time, then homosexuality would not be wrong. But passages like 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 through 10 make it very plain the Lord does recognize a distinction between the sexes in some matters. Again, if the Lord did not recognize any difference between the sexes, it would not be wrong for women to preach. But passages like 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 make it plain the Lord does recognize a distinction between the sexes in such matters. Galatians 3, verse 28, then, is speaking about salvation. When it comes to being saved, there is no difference between the sexes. Women have the same privilege and the same process to go through in getting saved that men have. There are other things that should be taken into consideration, but before our time runs out, let me tell you about a few popular ideas which many people have that cannot be proven by the Bible. First, it cannot be proven from the Bible that salvation is by faith only, because James chapter 2, verse 24 expressly says salvation is not by faith only. Second, it cannot be proven from the Bible that baptism in water is not necessary for salvation, because Mark 16:16 expressly says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Third, it cannot be proven from the Bible that miracles are still possible today, because 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13, explicitly states that miracles would cease when God's word was perfected or completely revealed. Fourth, it cannot be proven that the church is unnecessary for salvation, because Acts 20, verse 28 says Jesus died for the church, and he certainly did not die for something that was unnecessary. Fifth, it cannot be proven that a man-made denomination is just as good as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mere mortal men cannot create and fashion their own churches and produce something that's just as good as the church of Christ. But how do we know the church of Christ when we see it? In 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." If a church claims to be the church of Christ, but it's not keeping the Lord's commandments exactly as the Lord gave them, you may rest assured that such a church is not the church of Christ. To truly be the church of Christ, a church must be obedient to everything which the Lord commands. These are just a few of the things which need to be taken into consideration when someone says, "You can prove everything by the Bible." Well, thanks for listening to our message this week. If you would like to speak with someone from the congregation in person, you may call 405-589-4184. Let me give that number again. It's 405-589-4184. Or you can leave your name and number at the sound of the tone, and one of our brethren will be glad to call you back. We also invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's www.willofthelord.com. No spaces between those words. Willofthelord.com. And there at our website, You may download the notes and the audio file of the message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.